everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, today we'll be talking about the unspoken rules to dating. Now, I know that for many of you, you've been trying every avenue to meet that someone special, but things just haven't worked out. Or you're just unsure about the common dating etiquette and practices today. So listen in, because you know that the dating world isn't so clear-cut anymore. My guest today is Michelle Russo, a former St. Louis Rams cheerleader turned author, writer, and dating coach. Now, after being thrust back on the dating scene following a 10-year relationship, Michelle came face to face with some of the most bizarre dating situations of her life. In an effort to find the humor, though, in her dating fails, she decided to lend her advice to others. So from the sidelines of the NFL to the less glamorous trenches of the modern dating world, Michelle coins herself as the sideline reporter, the sideline reporter. Her upcoming book is called Modern Tales of Fairy Fails. And you can learn more about Michelle and her new book at thedimeseries.com. So welcome to the program, Michelle. It's so great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Terry. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you. Now, I know that you and I have talked several times, and I know your story, but I know what listeners are thinking, Michelle. They're thinking, wait a minute. Rams cheerleader to dating coach and author. Uh-huh. So tell listeners briefly about your journey and how you went from the NFL to a dating coach and author.
So I get this a lot with people where they think, oh, there's no way someone like you could struggle with dating. And the fact is that everybody struggles at some point or the next. No one is exempt from rejection or some of the things that just take place in modern dating or just in relationships if you are with someone special. So after 10 years of a relationship span, I was thrust into the single world, and it was new to me because I had been approached by people, obviously being an NFL cheerleader, but was always in a relationship and didn't really get to date too much. So when I was finally thrust into single girl, what's out there, it was so scary.
It is scary. I love the fact that you say that everyone has these common challenges, because that's an important thing for everyone and every audience member to know, that no matter what, there are these practices, there are these unspoken rules, and that we all experience them.
Everybody. No one's exempt. That's what I like to say, because it's so easy to say, oh, well, this is just me dealing with this. It's just the way I look. It's my weight. It's my appearance. And it really has nothing to do with any of those things. Coming from a professional cheerleading team, I'm surrounded by some of the most beautiful girls in the state of Missouri. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. Everybody has a different opinion, a different attraction base. And Heidi Klum might be one guy's dream girl, and the next guy might not think she's attractive at all. And that's just how it goes. So it really doesn't have to do as much with appearance as you would think, because if your personalities don't line up, you're going to struggle.
And so share with our audience then, what's one of your worst dating situations? Because you say that you had all of these situations that were very challenging. Tell us a story.
My worst dating. Well, let's see. I have so many, and the book is just compiled of
so many. Pick one of them. So basically, though, you're saying that your new book, Modern Tales of Fairy Fails, are about your dating situations or stories?
About dating situations. And it's not always someone that I dated. I have stories from meeting someone for the first time. For instance, there was a gentleman I met out a night out with friends at a karaoke bar, and he just struck up conversation with me, and it very suddenly went south when I received a text message from one of my girlfriends that she was in labor. So I announced, oh my gosh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but my friend is in labor. Right. It spiked this conversation about childbirth, and he asked a strange question asking if she was going to be having the child naturally or via C-section, which I thought was weird. And then right. he just went into this long argument about how his wife is going to have a baby the way God intended it and not with a C-section. I just thought it was the strangest thing ever because I'm a very small person, I'm small frame. Some of us, we don't have that choice, but there are just people out there that their opinion is their opinion. First time meeting you, I'm going to tell you how you're going to have a baby. Just weird things like that.
Right. And so what did you say to him, by the way? Did you just leave to go be with your friend? Or did you stay and have an argument with him or disagreement?
I argued a little. I felt entitled to say, well, hang on a minute. I am 5'2 on a good day here. Very small framed. I probably would not have that choice. My mother didn't. Why does it matter? You're not having the baby. Kind of none of your business how I choose to have it, right?
Right, but, exactly. So interesting, Michelle. So you talk about these unspoken rules. Is one of the rules then that someone should not give a very strong opinion or an idea about something on the first date or the first time you meet someone?
I probably wouldn't. I probably, or at least tiptoe around it a little bit and not bring in a religious aspect of this is how God intended it, which has nothing to do with the medical field at all. So it's just a bizarre encounter. But I would recommend just to, kind of tiptoe around it a little bit. There's no reason on the first date to go all in. Chances are you're going to turn somebody off. Someone's going to back away slowly thinking that, why are you so passionate about this subject? And that's exactly what I did.
Right. And, you know, I also, Michelle, as you know, talk about that you should not disclose every opinion, everything about yourself on that first date, because a lot of people say, well, Michelle, of course, say your opinion, say what you believe, say your values, put it all out there because you want to know early in the dating process if you're compatible. But what I think happens if you do that, like your situation that or story that you just talked about, is that people are overwhelmed and you're going to offend someone if it's so strong. So gradually self-disclose. It's like a book. Tell one chapter at a time to someone that you're dating. Would you agree?
I totally agree. And chances are the person that you're speaking with, they're not ready to show you all of their cards anyway. They're probably not coming into it with all their values and everything just ready to slide your direction like it's a poker table. It's just not going to happen like that. So if one of you is coming on too strong, you're definitely going to end up, probably scaring the other person.
Right. And so that might be one of your unspoken rules. And I know you talk about that the dating world has changed and that it's almost like a game, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to win the game or if you want to achieve your goal, which is a relationship at the end, that you need to know the rules of the game. So share with us some of those unspoken rules that you talk about, other than don't disclose a strong opinion on the first date.
Right. So I have an article out there that I wrote after just my experience personally in the unspoken rules that I came across during my dating process. One of them being that social media means so much more than what you actually would give it meaning towards. So a like on Instagram or Facebook could be a sign of interest. You know, it might not be that you post a picture of your dog and they really like that picture. Maybe that means a little bit something more. From there, as it carries on, unfortunately, in this game, you don't want to be the first one sending the first text message, I have realized. You don't want to text two times in a row, that sort of thing.
You got to stop there, Michelle.
Sure.
Explain that to us. Are you talking about a man or woman, or are you talking
man
about
woman?
You, a woman, should not text first?
Well, that is what the norm is out there, is that it seems like both parties do not want to be the first one to show vulnerability. Therefore, you kind of dance around it a little bit. We're square dancing, trying to figure out who's going to send that first text, who's going to initiate the remaining of the conversation.
And so what do you do then? So no one should be the first. You dance around it. What does that mean I should or someone should do?
It's an exhausting process, and what really just sets the bar to actually have a relationship is someone finally stepping forward and saying, you know what, I'm done with the game. This is what I would like. I have this intent with you. I really like you. I'd like to get to know you. If you have interest in seeing me again, let's do it. That breaks the ice, breaks the barrier, and then you're not going back and forth wondering, should I text, should I call, don't call, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay, and are there different rules to that based on gender, do you think?
I think there are a little bit for girls just because it's changing a little bit now with the help of Bumble, because that dating app, women approach men first, the first message, so there is no choice but to go that way. But, you know, for years it was always the guy's responsibility to put himself out there and see if the girl's interested, and guys face a lot of rejection that I don't think girls really realize. They're constantly the ones that have to really initiate, and that's hard.
It's very hard because you're putting yourself out on the line. You're saying, I'm here, I'm interested, right? Because I've made the first, quote, move, and then you can reject me or you cannot text back. Absolutely. Now, I know you also talk about ghosting as one of the unspoken rules, but you say, first of all, I should say that ghosting everyone, some people know, some people don't, is when someone you've been dating disappears into thin air, no text, no calls, no goodbye. And I think it's happens at the blink of an eye. You think that you're in a good space or something's happening positively between you and someone else, and then they disappear. But you say, Michelle, that you should expect that to happen and then don't cross that person off the list, so to speak, that they won't come back at some point. Explain, please.
So what I've learned about modern dating right now is it seems like everyone has a backup plan. There's always something on the back burner. So there, people are not as willing to completely end things and close that door. They'll put you on the back burner and ghost you, so to speak, so that there's really no contact. Maybe they're pursuing someone else. If that falls through, suddenly they come back around and it becomes a full circle approach. And here we are in the same position again. So it is something that does happen time and time again. And unfortunately, it's just people not being very upfront, not being honest from the get-go, and a little bit cowardly to not just say, you know what, I'm not really completely feeling it with you. I don't know if we should speak anymore. Maybe we should slow things down. It's become a little bit of a crutch for people. They don't have to make a abrupt decision. They don't have to close it off completely.
And so people come back then? So they sort of disappear for a while and they're talking to other people, but then they may come back? And is that meaningful, are you saying?
It's not a good position to be in, but it does happen, and it's happened to the best of us. So, I mean, I've had it myself, speaking to a guy for a couple of months, and then suddenly it just seems like they fall off the face of the earth. They're not texting. You know, you don't hear from them. There's no plans for another date. So just as you're ready to cross that person off the list and move on, suddenly 2 weeks later, you get a text out of nowhere, and they always act as if they haven't done anything. Like we've been talking this whole time. What's different?
And so what did you do, or what do you give as advice? What should someone say when that happens?
I think someone should treat that person the same way they're treating them. I wouldn't hang your heart on it. If you just enjoy that person's company and you just want to have a casual date here and there, just to go out, then by all means do it. But I wouldn't focus so much on trying to build a lasting relationship with this person, because if someone's doing this in the beginning stages, it's not a good sign. You want someone that's completely invested in you.
So, right. And that's the point. If they're doing this early on, think of what they're going to do in terms of distancing themselves or just falling off the face of the earth as a relationship goes on. Mm-hmm. So when you coach people then, Michelle, do you tell them to be open and honest and not ghost people?
I do. In my coaching, because I have been ghosted and I know what that means, and it doesn't solve anything. It keeps the door open, but we're not solving the problem. You're not really making any forward movement to a relationship on any front just by keeping the doors open. So I encourage my clients to be completely honest from the get-go. If they're not totally 100% on the person, they can tell them, I think I just need to get to know you a little bit better, or you know, I'm not really liking how we're meshing. I don't really feel like we're clicking, but I really enjoyed my time with you. It's hard to do, but it will be so much easier in the long run.
Right. I agree with you, you know, but it is hard to do. I've had many clients tell me, you know, I'm afraid of what somebody's going to say, or I don't like confrontation in any of my relationships
at
work or with friends. And so this is just another one where I don't want to confront, you know, what may happen in response.
Right. We're going back to elementary school stuff here. We're going back to treat someone how you would want to be treated. And that's, I mean, no one wants to deal with confrontation. It's horrible. But, you know, that other person deserves to know where they stand. The same way we would want to know where we stand in a relationship. It's only fair because we're not helping that person by not just telling them the truth. By dancing around it and ghosting them, we are only hurting that person.
Right. I agree. It goes back to kindergarten.
It does.
And it really does. So be honest, be open, and respect anyone and treat them like you would want to be treated. I agree with you completely, 100%, Michelle. Now, you also say that another unspoken rule is that things have changed and you can't expect to be courted. What does that mean?
Well, not to be surprised if you are thrust into the dating world like I was coming from, you know, back, and it was only 10 years ago, but it has changed so much because of dating apps and social media. So the courting that you were used to years ago probably is not what you're going to experience now, and that's okay. It's just a different way that people communicate with each other, and unfortunately, dating apps have helped us get this way. So basically with that, you just have to acknowledge that I might not be having someone call me right away. They might send me a text first. We might not go to a full-fledged dinner and a movie. We might meet first for a drink. Things are just a little bit different because people are a little bit still standoffish about meeting someone on the internet. So I think they move a little bit slower and in different ways.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that's a good thing that we move slower?
We have this debate a lot with clients. I personally do. I don't love the idea of a dinner date for the first date. I think it's a little bit too much like an interview for me. I think that drinks is just a little bit more casual, or maybe a sporting event, something like that, a day date. I think it's just an easier way to let your guard down because nobody wants to be so nervous that, you know, you vomit anyway.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, one of the things when we look at research too, Michelle, is exactly what you're suggesting is that when we meet somebody online, because we don't have as many of those visual cues that we can see pictures and we can see how they're talking to us, that intimacy develops faster. And so that we may be talking to this person and learn a lot of information about them quickly, and we think we know them well. We think that we know a lot about them and them about us, and that equals intimacy because we've self-disclosed about each other. But it's not the case. It's only been several hours, or it's only been several days. And so that if we can slow down, that's a good thing to really get to know that person. So I agree with you as well that it's okay to have intimacy develop slower, and that we don't have to do that full-fledged date and the first meeting, that we can meet for 2 hours, and a short and sweet 2-hour date at the beginning or even less is good.
It is, right? It's almost, especially when you're meeting someone for the first time and it's based off a dating site date where you really are meeting a stranger, and it's not like a mutual friend has set you up. It's a total stranger. The first date is kind of just a confirmation date. It's confirmation that, okay, the person I'm meeting is who they say they are online. They do exist, and I do actually enjoy their conversation. So it's almost like a barrier breaker, and I think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm. Good points. So how do you deal with all these rules and thinking about the dating scene as game playing or a game? Do you ever get frustrated or just want to give up?
Oh, yes. Many times. Many, many times. Basically, what I do is just acknowledge them. I acknowledge that they're there. I don't think a lot of people in this generation and in this dating game really pay attention to what's actually happening and what we have allowed to happen. It's acceptable now to ghost people, and it's just disrespectful on a lot of fronts. You know, not closing off a dating app, leaving your social media sites up and running while you're dating someone for, you know, the first 5 dates. It's kind of not nice. So I think by just pointing these things out and saying, hey, why are we doing this? Why are we reinventing the wheel here? This is not how you maintain a trusting relationship with someone. That's how.
So you would like the rules to change then, is what you're saying as well.
Oh, yes. I identify the rules. I see them. I basically hold up a mirror to society, but I in no means want these rules to stay.
Right. And so do you want people to have low expectations then as well? I mean, because basically you're saying people aren't going to be respectful. People are not going to court you. Are those low expectations as well?
I don't think it's a matter of low expectations. I think it's a matter of knowing what to expect, knowing what's out there and what can happen, and then finding ways to almost tell people your expectations of the truth. You know, I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about you, and I expect you to do the same to me. If at any time you don't want to continue this, I'm a big girl, I can handle it, and that's just fine, and you just move on. So I think by acknowledging some of the dating trends that are taking place and then saying, why are we doing this? For both parties, it doesn't make sense. You hold people accountable, and I think at the end of the day, they appreciate that.
Yeah. I think they do. I think being open and honest and telling the truth, people appreciate that. And they will appreciate you for doing that. Now, we only have a few minutes left, and I know your website is called The Dime Series.
Yes.
What does that stand for, and why did you pick The Dime Series?
I picked The Dime Series, so I'm writing a series of books about dating, but I am trying to bring back the old school dime. The dime is what Sinatra and a lot of the singers throughout the years have always referenced, and it's the idea of a perfect 10 of a woman. My spin on that is a whole woman, not just the 10 in looks, but a 10 is a whole number. It's someone that is confident and strong. She knows who she is. This is the type of girl I'm trying to bring back. So what I wanted to create with my site was just a spot for girls and guys to go that just want to bring the old school person back and relate back to what works. So it's just a truthful way for singles to kind of read my articles, comment back and forth, and it's just a good community.
I like it. And I like that idea, bringing back the dime. There's little that you can buy now for the dime. So bringing that back and bringing the old dating situations and scenes and world is a wonderful idea. Now, just 2 minutes left. Anything else you'd like to tell us about your new book, Modern Tales of Fairy Fails, F-A-I-L-S. I love that title.
Thank you. Anything
you want listeners to know about the book or your website?
Sure. Well, I do have more of a positive stance on everything, but this first book is a book of fail stories. Some are my friends, some are mine, some are ones that have been written into the blog, but they all, at the end of the day, each one of these fails I appreciate, and they made me who I am. They were each a little piece of the puzzle that made me whole. And I want people to be able to not only laugh at these stories and possibly relate, but to get the end message that, you know what, learn to laugh through these things and appreciate them because they make you who you are. They help you define what you want out of a lifetime partner. So while you're looking for Prince Charming, don't forget the frogs.
Right. Oh, good. While you're looking for Prince Charming, don't forget the frogs and still have a positive approach. I mean, you know, dating should be fun. If we think of it only as a game, even though I understand completely what you're saying and the rules to a game, but we also have to have fun and relationships should be fun. I think we forget about laughing and enjoying ourselves within relationships. Would you agree?
I totally agree. Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me, Michelle.
Sure.
I really loved your advice and loved your dating stories.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's been such a blast to be on your show.
Thank you. And listeners, if you want to learn more about Michelle Russo, her website again is thedimeseries.com. She's also on Instagram and Twitter at the Dime series. So always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand and implement into your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.